Actually, Maggie's not here. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm guest hosting along with my favorite guest co-host, Angela Lang, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And you can join the conversation anytime by phone or by text. The number for both is 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842 or 855-75-CIVIC. And it was great to have Representative Robin Vining on the show with us the last half hour. And now we have another political figure here in Wisconsin that I have tremendous respect for. Former state rep Katrina Shanklin of Stevens Point, who is now executive director of a group called Rust Belt Rising. Representative Shanklin, thanks for joining the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Hey, you just had a birthday yesterday. What do you do for fun in celebration?
I went out to lunch at a local diner with my mom and caught up, which was amazing. And then for dinner, I got to meet up with my husband and we went to Wapaka at Clearwater Harbor and just enjoyed time near the lake. It was wonderful. Thank you.
You and Angela have birthdays around the same time. So there you go. Tell us what Rust Belt Rising is and how you got associated with it.
Absolutely. So I was in the state legislature in Wisconsin for six terms, 12 years. My term finished, last term finished in January. I had also made a bid for the third congressional district, didn't make it in the primary. And so I was looking for an opportunity to make a difference and continue to make a difference in a way that, helps people like Democratic candidates who support our working families and seniors gain power and learn how to use it in a way that transforms generations, right? So that changes the course of history. And not to be too hyperbolic, but I really believe that all of us working on elections and the democratic infrastructure, the training infrastructure, and the policy component in government, we're all doing that right now. We know that we are at a very pivotal time in our nation's history. We know that the midterms are the most powerful check we have until the next presidential election. And that everything we do from now until then on the state level, on the local level, and on the federal level can make a huge impact. And so as executive director, my goal and job is to help Democratic candidates, campaign staff, activists, civic and party leaders learn how to really message authentically and genuinely to folks to show them not only whose side we're on, the side of working people, but to beyond that, use that power for good. And so, as somebody who's always been a huge proponent of labor unions and organizing, this felt like the perfect fit for me. I grew up in a small rural town in north central Wisconsin, Wittenberg, population 1,000. And I represented a very rural area, 19 small towns and villages outside of Stevens Point in Portage County, which is a purple county. So I wanted to take my experience learning how to not only get elected, but use my power that I did have, the power of the pulpit, the press release, right? Organizing and co-leading in coalition with groups, whether it's, groups who care about clean water or groups who care about public education funding. And that experience that I have, you can't put a price tag on real world lived experience. And so many candidates need that. They need somebody who's been through it. And so I was chosen to be the new executive director. And my goal is to train hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of folks over the next 2 years, and hopefully again the next cycle, within our six state regions. We have Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, Pennsylvania, Indiana, and Ohio.
And this is a crucial region for Democrats, especially at the presidential level, because we saw what happened in the last presidential race, but also for statewide politics here. And, I've been, in the communication business myself in my career, and we're always trying to give each other messaging tips. What messaging tips do you give your candidates, your clients?
Yeah, so we just had an amazing session today with Joe Zepecki, whose name probably a lot of folks who are listening know. He just
good
ran
friend
for
of mine.
Democratic Party chair. He's an amazing messenger, and I think even better, just an incredible person, right? Those who know him love him. He will do anything for anyone. And we're so excited to have him. He's serving as a mentor for our candidates as well. And he did, his five M's. The medium is the message. The messenger is the message. The mood is the message, which I think is incredibly important. How you get your message out to the masses, right? And so my tip, and we brought this up over and over again today throughout our trainings, is showing up authentically is the most important, right? Trying to be someone you're not, trying to mimic another politician isn't going to work. And so there are no magic words, right? We're not going to give anyone a script and say, read these words and voters will love you. That's just not true. Voters can smell BS from a mile away, right? Mm-hmm. What they want to hear first and foremost is, hey, this is who I am. I want to know about you. Okay. Just a brief introduction, maybe a story. The storytelling narrative is really important. Why you're running for office, what you're going to do when you get there. But I think the most important question that candidates need to be able to answer at every door and at every meeting is, who are you? Why do you want to run? And what are you going to do for me? Right? That piece is the most important. If you can't answer that, don't run. So we're working on that, you know, helping candidates identify, you know, most people have a story about their why, right? Maybe they have a disability and they are furious about the Medicaid cuts. Maybe they personally rely on food stamps and are furious about the SNAP cuts. Whatever the situation, they have a story that they can tell. And our goal is to help them tell it as authentically as possible, while also showing working people and working families who they are running for. And that's them. You know, the Democratic Party, for decades, the brand was the party of working people, the home of working people. And Rust Belt Rising recognizes that in the Rust Belt, right, in these six states especially, these states have become tremendously competitive and swing and battleground states, especially in these congressional districts in all six states, because of the kind of post-industrial economy we're seeing, where, you know, these good working people who lost their union jobs with a pension and health care, you know, they're looking for a new job in their community and can't find it anymore, right? And we're now reckoning with AI and other things too. You know, we're seeing new trends potentially repeating the same history if, you know, we don't have a plan. And so we want candidates to be able to speak to those folks. And that means reaching out to folks beyond the base, right? There are many people, if you look at the 2024 election, we lost margins, significant margins, with almost every voting demographic, in some cases massively. And so what does that mean? We need to operate with humility. The Democratic Party has a problem, not the voters. It's the party. It's the people in it. It's the candidates. And we are empowering them. Instead of making people feel bad about it, hey, let's operate with humility, listen to folks first, and do something about it.
Love you that. Mentioned the mood is the message. Explain that a little more.
Yeah, this is Joe's, and I love it. I was thinking a lot about it while he's talking about it. And I do think, you know, I'll give you an example. You know, in the 2024 election, when folks were defending institutions, which, you know, I believe strongly in, you know, whether it's public media or whether it's our civic employees, whether it's, you know, federal government oversight organizations like the Consumer Protection Financial Bureau, right? Those are important. But if folks only hear about how, well, I just want government to do this, and we just need to get government back to doing XYZ, the status quo, they're like, well, I am against the establishment right now. The majority of Americans, over 60%, regardless of race, regardless of where they live, regardless of if they're Democrat, Republican, or independent, all agree right now that both our political and economic systems are failing us. They want to start over. So if you are the pro-establishment, pro-institution, pro-defend the status quo candidate, who's going to win? The burn it to the ground guy, the I don't like what he says all the time, but he's going to start us over. And that's unfortunate. I'm not saying we need to be like him, but I am saying we can learn something from it. We need to be the, hey, Big Pharma shouldn't have a chokehold on our federal government. We're going to lower prescription drug costs, period. That kind of candidate, right? And you can do that in a red district, a bright blue district, or a purple district and be successful.
Speaking with Representative former rep, state rep Katrina Shanklin, who's now executive director of a group called Rust Belt Rising, trying to help Democrats message better and govern better with power and not be afraid of their power. Angela, I'm sorry, you have a question.
No. I was going to say, I just want to build off of a similar question that I asked Representative Vining about the kind of this idea, and building off what you just mentioned, that like people want these basic things. And there sometimes is this idea that you need to sacrifice your political values or your political messaging in order to win. And I also think about young people, specifically when it comes to you, because one of the first times I remember like meeting you, I was a part of an organization called United Council. And, you know, this idea of young people being engaged in this conversation. So I'm really curious to get your thoughts on how folks kind of message either to young people or any more of a progressive base while understanding understanding the political climate that we're in. And, you know, sometimes people feel that they need to make these sacrifices in order to be progressive, so to speak, later.
Yeah. Yeah, I reject that frame completely. And here's why. I have, you know, if you look at my voting record as somebody who was in office for 12 years, you know, I voted against budgets that people probably should have told me I should have voted for. And, you know, but I said, look, you know, my property taxes are going up. So are everyone else's. And our schools aren't getting the money they need. And I was clear about my vote and I didn't have to defend it because I advertised it early. I think how you hold your political capital and how you spend it is really important. Lots of politicians hoard their power. They like guard it zealously, regardless of party, right? Like they're like dragons sitting on it. Like I'll use it all one day. And they retire and they missed out on hundreds potentially of opportunities to spend that political capital. And so I would say, you know, I ran TV ads, digital ads, mailers, and radio ads of Republicans, independents, and Democrats supporting me in my elections. I also outperformed the top of the ticket in every election that I ran for assembly. So I have data points that show people knew I was a progressive. They knew that I was running on things like, you know, I was on a public option bill for Badger Care. I strongly believe in it, was campaigning on it. I didn't shy away from it. I said, I think people should be able to buy in, period. There should always be a public option when it comes to healthcare so people can afford to have cancer treatments and to, you know, go to the doctor when they feel sick without worrying about going bankrupt, right? And I do think that it's a value, right? Like whatever your value is, you know, Rust Belt Rising trains all Democrats, centrists, moderates, progressives, whatever your value is, be authentic to it and show that you're open to having conversations. You know, I have changed people's minds by talking about a public option. Every time I met with a healthcare insurance company or hospital, I brought up a public option and I said, I'm going to use my power to move the needle. And so many people said, this would help us not be in debt. This would be amazing, right? But so many hospital executives said, you know what? That actually makes sense. I never thought that maybe we could have a sliding scale and people who make millions of dollars could buy in too and pay a little more than people who make, you know, minimum wage. So that's an example of it actually matters less where you fall on the spectrum if you are honest, open, and defend your positions and are willing to have that conversation with people, especially young people, people of color, folks who feel like marginalized within the political system because they don't see themselves fully represented yet, right? Women, LGBTQIA folks, right? If you are willing to have these conversations and show a genuine interest in moving the needle, you know, regardless of whether you're not an incrementalist, the folks in Wisconsin will say, we want to get something done for you. We want you to actually move the needle for us. And we care about what that looks like, but don't sell us out. What does sell us out mean? It's a question for another time.
Well, why don't you hang on and tell us right after the break. We're speaking with former state rep Katrina Shanklin, now executive director of a group called Rust Belt Rising. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show on Civic Media. I'm Matt Rothschild along with my guest co-host, Angela Lang, and we'll be right back.